There are two elements here. They were introduced the night of the Passover. Just as this morning I preached, it was the custom of Jesus to go into the synagogue. He was keeping the Passover that had been kept down through the centuries when God's people were faithful in commemoration of the event when they were delivered out of Egypt's bondage. They didn't deserve it. They weren't delivered on their merits. Simple action based upon a promise of God, the essence of faith, delivered through his servant Moses, gave the name because the angel bringing death to every household passed over the house where the action based upon faith in God's promise delivered by God's servant Moses had produced the blood on the doorposts. Now, blood plays a prominent part, but once again, we're down to value judgment. Just as people that don't know what they're talking about confuse the real meaning of giving as an expression of worship, people who don't know what they're talking about in regard to Christianity fail to understand that once again, we're dealing with value. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the soul, literally, resided in the blood. God said, for sin comes death. You can't be more dead than life poured out. The blood containing the life of the soul poured out. The only reason there's so much blood in the Bible is there was so much sin in the life of men. And God said, for sin comes death. Now, the value of the blood is the value of the life. And God, that ancient night in Egypt, painted a picture in drama type of an event that would occur the night that Jesus took these elements. For he told each household if they would take a lamb, slay it on the threshold, which put blood on the base of the door, put blood containing the life on the doorposts and on the lintel above, go in, shut the door. At midnight, when the angel of death would pass, if he saw the blood on the door as a token of having obeyed God's word in simple faith, he passed over that house. They didn't have to understand all the theology. Just believe God would keep his word, and in that case, he told them a simple thing to do. Put the blood on the door. Now, you could have gotten very humane about lambs and lost the son in the house that night, plus the firstborn of all your lambs. Faith is an action based upon God's word, hanging the body in action, based upon God's word of promise. By obeying, the blood on the door spared the house. Ever after, they were to keep a memorial to that event of God's deliverance from Egypt's bondage. It was that event that Jesus and his disciples were keeping in the upper room of a house owned by Mary, or at least in which Mary, the mother of John Mark, dwelt. And as he took the bread and took the wine, he gave it its meaning. I'm going to reverse the order tonight because there's no sanctity of the order any more than the order that occurred in Cornelius' house when instead of repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, they repented, received the Holy Ghost, and were then baptized. The cup, as Jesus took it, instead of making it again be the routine memorial pointing back to the blood of a slain lamb on the post of a door that produced an escape from death. He said, "This is my blood." No hocus pocus, which is modern colloquial for hocus corpus meus, the Latin spoken by the medieval church in its attempt to compete with the oracles of mystery religions and change the wine into his blood. He was sitting there, his blood was in his veins. He had voluntarily kinned himself to us, taking on human flesh and bringing the life of God and tinting in human flesh, that God might be led from the unknown and put on display. And now, having displayed God's life in the flesh, conquering the flesh, and perfectly fulfilling the will of God, he's going to offer himself as the substitute for us. The perfection of his life made his life worth enough to stand in for the rest of us. And it's not the blood of an animal or a goat that is going to pay the penalty for all sins. His blood's still in his body, but he says of this cup, as he strikes a new covenant and a new memorial, "This is my blood. Remember me as oft as you drink it." He was partaking with those that were not worthy of the covering he would provide. He anticipated their failures, but still told them to keep on doing it as a memorial to him until he comes again, anticipating the day past the resurrection to his second coming. And he wanted us to remember him who was worthy to die in our place. Now, I grew up in a frame where guilt was laid on everybody who got in front of the table of the Lord, and Paul was misquoted out of the Corinthian letter. And some somber-toned warning would come out, "Now, you better examine yourself whether or not you're worthy to partake, because if you eat and drink unworthily or unworthy, you eat and drink damnation." A temporary punishment in the Greek, krema, to keep you from getting katakrama, which is ultimate damnation that comes to the sinful world. And that temporary punishment is sickness, weakness, and death in some occasions from that sickness or weakness. And I used to sit and hear everybody around me, almost feel their trembling, and hear those words around me, "Got to be worthy or don't partake." What idiocy. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. God never had the angel analyze the worthiness of those who stepped behind the door at the Passover. The blood on the door covered them. And the whole book of Hebrews is written to say we have a better covenant, a better covering, a better priest, a better inheritance, better promises. Paul had no focus at all on whether or not we're worthy. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. It's unworthy people who need to partake, which we all are. Unworthy, that is. He said unworthily, an adverb that modifies the manner of partaking, not the partaker. He said, "You eat and drink unworthily, and you eat and drink this temporary punishment cream on you." And he defines what eating and drinking unworthily is. Eating and drinking not discerning the body. Jesus made it simple. He said, "Remember me." When you wonder whether or not you're worthy, Peter was sitting there, who would go out and deny him three times. The others were sitting there, most of whom, with the possible exception of John, would flee away in fear and lose faith. Satan would certainly remind them of their failures and their unworthiness. Jesus said, "When you partake, remember me." To question my worth is to question his worth, because he gave himself for me. Therein is my worth and your worth. To eat and drink unworthily is to fail to discern that and to get your mind on anything else, including analyzing your own worthiness. were made worthy because one worth more than all of us put together spilled his life as the penalty for our unworthiness. And were made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. The only subject of unworthiness is whether you do this discerning his worth, which stands between us and the penalty for our sins. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I don't allow any guilt and fear at the table of the Lord. That's where we all stand equal, needing his grace and covered by it. If we simply act, we don't have to put blood on a doorpost, we just take this cup and in the simple act of obedience, remember him, and we're covered. Thank God for his grace. Can you take the cup and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace as we take together? In Jesus' name. How come there were two elements? If sin was the only subject, all you need is the emblem of blood. The penalty for sin is death. Blood. The life of the soul resided in the blood. Blood poured out. Pays for the sin. How come this piece of bread? They ate the roasted lamb for strength, ready for a journey. Staff in hand, sandals on their feet. And as they came out of Egypt's bondage, 2.25 million to 2.5 million people, the psalmist says there wasn't a feeble one in their midst. There are some things that we have to face on this journey, wearisome things, including sickness. But let every experience, including my own sickness, be a lie and God's word be true. And if we have to die not having obtained the promise, God put this added source of strength for the trip in. Isaiah 53 pictures it in prophecy. The words are clear. The verbs have him lifting from us the full weight and carrying away our sicknesses and infirmities. And as every sin, though it boggles logical minds, has the double happening when you commit it and it was laid on him. As the mediator, he paid the penalty for them all. Your sickness was also laid on him. And as with the heart man believeth and with the mouth confession is made, and that act of faith appropriates the covering of Christ's righteousness and his shed blood for our sins, God's word says, with his stripes ye were healed. And it's my part and your part to seize that with our heart, take God literally at his word, and receive the strength of his healing, as well as covering for our sins. Now, you may have done it 100 times. Keep doing it if you have to do it 100 times more. You have to die not having obtained the promise. That's the best and quickest healing you'll ever get. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But God's word forever settled in heaven, and God's word says he laid on him our sicknesses and our infirmities, and with his stripes, Peter put it in the past tense, ye were healed. Now take this cup take this bread and personalize it with me. I want you to say with me, with his stripes, I was healed. And take it in Jesus' name.